When I discovered I was pregnant during an economics conference, my first thought wasn't about nursery colors. It was about my morning coffee. Could I still have it? The pregnancy advice I encountered was frustratingly contradictory. As an economics professor with a PhD, I was trained to analyze data and make evidence-based decisions. Why should pregnancy be any different? This disconnect launched me on a journey to apply economic decision-making principles to pregnancy. Instead of accepting vague warnings and arbitrary rules, I dove into the research myself. What I discovered was eye-opening. Many standard pregnancy recommendations are based on minimal evidence, outdated research, or extreme caution rather than clear risk-benefit analysis. By challenging conventional wisdom with hard data, I found a more relaxed, less rigid approach to pregnancy, one that empowers women to make informed choices based on actual risks rather than fears. Think about it. Wouldn't you rather know that the occasional glass of wine has no documented negative effects rather than being told simply, "Don't drink," without explanation? Wouldn't you prefer understanding which foods actually pose risks during pregnancy instead of memorizing an arbitrary prohibited list? Conception requires precise timing. In a typical 28-day cycle, ovulation occurs around day 14, when the egg is released and remains viable for only about 24 hours. This creates a narrow fertile window of just 6 days, the 5 days before ovulation plus ovulation day itself. Conception rates peak at over 30% when intercourse occurs on the day before or day of ovulation, with no pregnancies resulting from sex after ovulation or more than 5 days before. This timing challenge intensifies when discontinuing birth control, as some women need months to reestablish regular cycles. For those with irregular cycles, reliable ovulation detection is crucial. Temperature charting confirms ovulation retrospectively, while ovulation detection kits provide more accurate forecasting by identifying hormone surges 48 hours before ovulation, increasing pregnancy rates, 23% versus 15% without them. Understanding your body's fertile window and combining tracking methods with strategic timing significantly improves conception chances. Pregnancy prohibitions deserve closer examination. Large studies from Australia, Denmark, and Italy show light drinking, up to one drink daily, has no negative impact on child development. Children of light drinkers occasionally scored slightly higher on assessments than those of abstainers. For caffeine, research including a Maryland study tracking daily intake and a Danish study of nearly 100,000 women found no relationship between moderate consumption, up to 3 to 4 cups daily, and miscarriage. Food restrictions targeting toxoplasmosis and listeria aren't aligned with actual outbreak data. Recent major listeria outbreaks occurred in celery, cantaloupes, and ice cream, not just commonly restricted foods. A data-driven approach would focus on raw, rare meat and unwashed produce, toxoplasmosis risk, plus queso fresco and deli turkey, listeria risk. Evidence suggests moderate consumption of many forbidden items poses minimal risk, highlighting the importance of distinguishing science-backed restrictions from those based on excessive caution. Nearly 90% of women experience pregnancy nausea throughout the day, not just mornings. Counterintuitively, nausea signals a healthy pregnancy. Studies show lower miscarriage rates among nauseated women, 8% versus 30%. Many women unnecessarily avoid medications when simple remedies fail. Evidence shows treatments like vitamin B6 with Unisum, promethazine, and Zofran are generally safe for severe cases when dehydration becomes a risk. Prenatal testing includes non-invasive screening, blood tests and ultrasounds, and diagnostic procedures like amniocentesis and CVS. Cell-free fetal DNA screening detects about 99.1% of Down syndrome cases with just 0.05% false positives. Modern studies show invasive tests carry lower miscarriage risks than commonly believed, approximately 1 in 800. The traditional recommendation for invasive testing based on maternal age, 35 plus, incorrectly assumes all families value avoiding chromosomal issues and miscarriage equally, when preferences vary dramatically. The key insight? prenatal care isn't one size fits all. The best decisions come from understanding actual risks of benefits, then weighing them against your personal values. Some pregnancy warnings make intuitive sense, while others seem arbitrary. Despite warnings about cat litter and toxoplasmosis, studies show cat ownership isn't significantly associated with infection. Surprisingly, gardening poses a much higher risk. Working with soil shows strong associations with toxoplasmosis. Hair dye can cause birth defects in rodents at extremely high doses, but human studies show no association with birth defects from normal use. Most medical reviews conclude it's safe after the first trimester. Activities raising body temperature above 101 degrees in early pregnancy may increase risk of birth defects, particularly neural tube defects. A study of 11,000 babies linked hot tub use with certain defects. Hot environments like Bikram yoga pose similar concerns during the first trimester. Air travel is generally safe during pregnancy before 36 weeks. While cosmic radiation increases at higher altitudes, typical flights contribute minimal radiation. A Chicago to Boston flight delivers only about 1% of the recommended pregnancy limit. Some commonly feared activities pose minimal risk, while others we rarely consider, like gardening without gloves, may warrant more caution. Understanding the mechanism behind each risk helps put it in perspective. Most first-time mothers deliver about 8 days after their due date without intervention. About 30% of babies arrive in the 39th week, with 70% born before their due date. Medical induction has increased from under 10% in 1990 to 25% by 2008. Between medical induction and waiting naturally, some women try DIY labor encouragement. While most methods lack scientific support, nipple stimulation shows effectiveness. Studies indicate 37% of women entered labor within 3 days, compared to 6% without it. The birth setting decision balances personal preferences against medical considerations. Home births offer low-risk women fewer interventions, lower infection rates, and fewer vaginal tears. The primary concern is potential infant mortality, though research remains contradictory and absolute risk is extremely small. If choosing home birth, a properly trained attendant, ideally a certified nurse midwife, is essential. The hospital versus home decision ultimately reflects personal risk tolerance, weighing minimal potential risks against the likelihood of medical interventions. After delivery, a nurse announced my daughter had lost 11% of her birth weight, exceeding their 10% limit. I needed to supplement with formula to take her home. My exhausted new mom brain couldn't bear not bringing my baby home, while my researcher mind questioned the arbitrary distinction between 10% and 11%. This moment captured my entire pregnancy experience, caught between medical protocols often lacking strong evidence and my desire to make informed decisions. The economist's approach offers a powerful alternative: gathering data, weighing personal preferences, and making choices rather than following arbitrary rules. This approach extends into parenting. The skills developed during pregnancy, evaluating research, distinguishing correlation from causation, and making decisions based on your values serve well in the parenting years ahead. When facing conflicting parenting advice, look for evidence, consider your unique circumstances, and choose what feels right for your family. In both pregnancy and parenting, informed decisions are empowered decisions.